The Westminster Confession begins by saying this. It says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. You know, that's the reason you're created. That's the reason everything you see exists, is for the glory of God. We're looking at the whole story of Scripture, and it begins like this. The text tells us, in the beginning, God. And last week, we took some time looking at who God is, and he's at the very beginning of the story, of his story. It's all about him. He's the main character. This is all for him. And then the next thing we see is his creation, where God creates. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when he created them, he said they were very good. They were good. And we're going to see from the text this morning that the way he created them is he spoke it into existence. You ever thought about that? How many things have you just spoken and there it was? You get up in the morning, you sit down at the table for breakfast, and you're like, Cheerios, pop, there it is. Anybody? Maybe if you got a really good mom, she's good to you that way and brings you Cheerios. But probably not. But God spoke. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Well, all of creation was made for one specific purpose, and it's to glorify God. He's the main character of the story. This is his story that you and I are a part of. And it's all about him. Let me clue you in to a simple fact. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about God. Now, you're created in his image, we'll see this morning, so that because we have this likeness to him, sometimes in our human or in our fallen nature, we pretend that we're actually God when no, in reality, we're just kind of like him. We're created like him. And the story isn't about us. It's about God. All of creation exists for one purpose, and that's to glorify God. And there's two pieces to creation, if you want to break it down into to simple terms. There's lower creation, and then there's higher creation. And by lower creation, we mean everything other than humanity. And lower creation includes the universe. And the universe demonstrates the vastness of God's creation. Or if I wanted to sound smart this morning, I'd say the vastness of his creation, right? It's the vastness of his creation. I had a lot of plans this morning of stuff that I was going to share with you, all these different facts and figures and cool stuff to demonstrate the vastness of God's creation to you. But instead, I'm going to go for you for a little bit, and then I'm going to show you actually a video of someone else teaching some of these things in a way that is so much more powerful than I could ever do it. And I'm just going to be humble and say, you know what? He communicates it better, so let's see how he communicates it so that you could grow and learn more. But before we go there, first just look at Psalm 8, verse 3. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, that God created this. He set them in place. He goes on and says, that's the psalm where it says, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The majesty of the universe declares the vastness of his creation. Isaiah 40, 26, God says, lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he's strong in power, not one is missing. You ever looked up in the sky and tried to count the stars? You ever done it? Maybe when you were a little kid? You ever try to count them? You probably didn't make it very far before you're like, I don't know if I counted that one yet or not. And you lose track. You're like, I'm not sure if that's a star or a plane or what's going on. And you lose track of them, yet God knows them all by name. He spoke and they're there. And he doesn't lose track of one of them. Well, as you move up the ranks of lower creation, you come to the earth and everything that's in it. And it declares the majesty of God's creation. The majesty of it. Watch Discovery Channel for a while and be in awe at what your God created. Isaiah 45 says, "For thus says the Lord who created the heavens and heavens, he is God who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other." Genesis 2:9, "The Lord made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and they produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And the thing you need to know is that the earth is unique among all planets. There's nowhere else where life has been found to be sustained. I mean, think about it. If they keep saying, oh, there's water on Mars. Maybe there's life, or maybe there was life. But nobody's found it. There's all this speculation, and there's nowhere else. Like if the earth was just a little bit off in its orbit, we wouldn't exist. We'd either freeze to death. You're thinking like, yeah, I think we're moving far away from the sun this morning because it's cold in here. Or you're a little bit closer, we'd burn up, right? It's the only place where life could be sustained. It's unique in that it has life, and it's the only place where life could really be sustained. God's just miraculously, precisely put it in the perfect place. And it's incredibly beautiful. Incredibly beautiful. Now, I'm going to show a video to you here, and this will last probably 15, 20 minutes, somewhere in there. So kick back, enjoy it. Maybe we'll turn the light, ushers can turn the lights down as we do. But I don't think you'll fall asleep. Watch this as a pastor by the name of Louis Giglio describes God's creation to us.
If there's anything that could happen tonight, our heart is that we will leave tonight with at least a couple of things having happened to us. One being that our view of God will be completely blown up all over again, and that the view that we have of God will be expanded in this place tonight. And that we will leave here with the confidence that he is able to hold on to us and hold us together no matter what circumstances come our way in this lifetime. And if you were with us on the Indescribable Tour, we sort of took a swing at that first part, looking at the bigness of God and the greatness of the universe. Anybody make it out to the Indescribable Tour, by the way? Two of you guys were there. The story of it in a nutshell was that the heavens are telling the glory of God. Their expanse declares the work of his hands. In other words, all you have to do is look up and you see the size of the God that we're worshiping tonight. We ended that, just a little review, with this galaxy right here, the Whirlpool Galaxy. You're like, man alive, we're talking about astronomy at a Christian worship service. Why not? The God that we're worshiping tonight is the one who created that right there. It's called the darling of astronomy. The reason why is it's sitting completely perpendicular to us on Earth. And when we look up at it, we get this beautiful view. But check this out. The Whirlpool Galaxy is 31 million light years away from where you're sitting right now. Okay, they got nothing in here tonight. 31 million light years away. That's just the first little thing we got to catch up with tonight. By the way, the story opens like this, in case you forgot. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And that was a phenomenal moment when that happened, because light came out of the mouth of God traveling 186,000 miles a second. That's how fast light is traveling through the universe. And so a light year, therefore, is how far light travels in 1 year. And I'll do the math for you. It's 5.88 trillion miles is a light year. So as we talked about before, when you start to get around in the neighborhood of God, the mile is not going to help you. The yardstick, the ruler, the tape measure, these things are of no value in the universe that God has made. We're using a ruler called a light year that's 5.88 trillion miles long. And if you'd like to go to the Whirlpool Galaxy, be my guest. All you have to do is multiply 31 million, that's how many light years it is away, by 5.88 trillion miles, and that's the distance that you've got to cover. Anybody with me so far? I'm wondering, are there any science lovers here tonight? Because we're going to have a little scientific content tonight. And I need to know if anybody's going to be with me so far. So you do the math, or you could look at it a different way. You just have to travel 186,000 miles a second for 31 million years, and voila, you will arrive at the Whirlpool Galaxy. Second thing that's pretty stunning, given that our God made that, is it contains 300 billion stars in that one galaxy. 300 billion stars. And it is one of hundreds of billions of other galaxies in the known universe that God has made. And it just reminds us all over again tonight, man, this God that we're singing to tonight, he's enormous. He's bigger than anything we've ever dreamed of. He's bigger than our wildest imagination of him. But we ended by looking inside that thing, and this is pretty stunning. Those of you who've seen it remember, but the Hubble Space Telescope is circling the Earth at 360 miles above the Earth, and it takes amazing images of these galaxies and other phenomena of the cosmos, and it looked into that white core of the Whirlpool Galaxy, and lo and behold, there is a black hole in there. And we'd never seen it before until Hubble could take an image of it, and I found this on NASA's site, hubblesite.org. This is what Hubble sent back to us from 31 million light years away from the black hole core of the Whirlpool Galaxy. They send us back this image right here. And it's just crazy. It's crazy. It's the glory of God, the grandeur of God. It's the grace of God and the mercy of God everywhere we look. It's the imprint of God in all of creation, everywhere we turn. And tonight we just want to begin with the bigness of God, the grandeur of God all over again. We're going to do it by looking at